How's that? Okay. Good morning, everyone. I hope this isn't your first session for the morning. How many managed to get to the 8:15? That's really impressive. Well done. Okay. My name is Toby Alcock. I'm from Corporate Network Integration. I'm here with Chris Thurtell, and we're here to talk about private cloud service delivery and automation using System Center 2012. So a brief agenda of what we're going to go through today. I'll just talk a little bit about Service Manager and the architecture. We're going to show you some live demonstrations and drill down on the architecture and then give you an example that you can take away and use in your environment. So quick one, Service Manager. I'm sure you've been in some of the sessions before. System Center now has two versions, Standard and Data Center. The features are the same, and there's seven components across all of the suite. So they've simplified it, simplified the licensing model. If you've got access to one, you now have access to them all. So the goal of today's session is to show you how you can use these different components of System Center to start delivering standardized service and automation in your environment. So who's using VMM in your environment today? Not too many. How about Orchestrator and Service Manager? We've got a few people using them all. Our goal today is to show you how those products link together to provide that standardized delivery and automation for your environment, for the real-life tasks that you're responsible for in your organization. So anyone who's worked with me over the last 13 years has heard me say many times, if IT can't help me get more done in the day, or help me get home earlier, then what's the point? We're getting asked to do more and more as an IT team. With the big data growth and increased complexity in the environment, there's more and more things that we're being asked to do as IT pros. And all the predictions of staff growth in IT departments doesn't match the expectation of what we're being asked to deliver on. And automation is the key. If we're going to get more work done, we need to get smarter about what we're doing. So we believe that automation is the biggest opportunity right now for IT pros. I spent a few months in Southeast Asia talking with some colleagues, and the penetration of desktop management and automation there is really low. And we're discussing this over dinner one night, and they said, the problem over there, they can get an army of people in, just resources are cheap, labour is cheap, so they can bring 50 guys in and do the work manually and it costs less than putting in the tools and automating it. And it got me thinking about this because I understood why they hadn't been able to sell the product in there, but it got me thinking that if we're able to put this in more efficiently, once it's in, there's a zero cost and you're operating on an automated manner. So it's all about reducing the capital expense of putting in these solutions and making it simpler for you to put in faster. If we can reduce that cost and that time so you can start getting the value, then it pays for itself very quickly. Can you just scroll down whenever there's notes here? Okay. So if there's one thing I want you to take away from the session today, it's that we're going to automate what we can today. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're not trying to boil the ocean. Look for the simple tasks in your environment that can be automated. Do that today, put it in, and then increase the value as you go forward. Optimize it as you go forward. So let's have a look at how System Center helps you deliver as a service. Everyone's probably seen these slides over the last few days. We've got two competing parts of the business. The application owner, who's requesting things from IT. And if it wasn't for the application people and the people in the business asking for a service from IT, IT wouldn't need to be there. We'd just be operating it automatically. All the change comes from this side. And on the other side, we've got the data center admin, who looks after all the infrastructure and is responsible for delivering on the request from the application owner. So the first part is self-service, giving the user the ability to request and define their own requirements through a standardized portal. Then we need to understand the architecture and the topology of what they're asking for. We define that as a standard in a service model. Then we need to have a process of automating those capabilities to break down what they've asked for into change requests and manageable tasks for the IT team to implement. Whether it's going out on physical kit, virtual kit, private cloud or public cloud, we need a consistent process to deliver on all of this. Once the product's deployed, the data center admin owns it. We've all seen that handball come from the app owner team. As soon as it's in production, there's an expectation that that's always on and always available. So we need to be able to monitor it and operate it using the same tool set. System Center 2012 gives us all these capabilities for lifecycle management. So in the self-service portal, we have the app controller. Service Manager gives us a standardized self-service catalog, what we're going to offer the business, what services we are going to provide to the organization. In the service delivery and automation, we're using Orchestrator to do those runbook activities and automate the processes. Together with VMM and Service Manager, Ops Manager, all together, these products help us maintain the service model and maintain what we've put in the environment. So Orchestrator and Service Manager help us to manage that end-to-end process, be it manual or automated. There's a lot of manual tasks that still happen in these processes. People have to approve it. You need to maintain control over the process. So those tool sets help us to do this in a consistent, repeatable manner. VMM and Config Manager are used to help provision the end resources. So driving the physical and virtual and cloud capabilities and actually putting the kit out there. Ops Manager gives us the end-to-end visibility of that service that the application owner has requested, with deep insight to help us predict SLA and see what's happening in the space. So we're going to be focusing on the middle tier here today, service delivery and automation. So the key products that we're going to be looking at. Is Orchestrator. No, it's not working. Orchestrator, Virtual Machine Manager and Service Manager. So the first part of this, the way we enable value for the business is through standardization and automation. Standardization is a known quantity of what you're going to provide to the business. If you're having a request come from the business, it's probably going to come again. So we may as well standardize it that first time. We don't believe there's many cases for a one-off for a request from the business. Once they've asked for it once, someone else somewhere will ask for it at some point in time. So standardizing those requests. We define the catalogue of what we're offering to the business. You may not want to give all of this offering to everyone. It's a bit like a menu of what IT is providing. And so we can control access for the relevant people, so you're not getting bombarded with requests from people who shouldn't be authorised to request those services. And we have the templates there for that standardised delivery, the repeatable process. The self-service, giving the consumers the ability to see what you're providing to the organisation. This is controlled empowerment. We're letting them feel like they have control over their own destiny. They can come and request through the self-service portal. They don't need to knock on the IT's door every time they want something. And they can request what they want. An easy-to-navigate portal, self-service reporting. They can see the process of what they're requesting all the way. Self-service has the ability to take away a lot of the load on your IT department. And the automation is the processes to help fulfill these requests. We automate the routing of requests. So even in a manual process where there's multiple people and multiple departments involved, we can still use the automation to make that happen. You're not left waiting for an email in someone's inbox for 2 weeks because they're on leave and nothing's happened because he's the person that has to reply back with a yes. The notifications are all automated as well. So standardisation helps us meet compliance. It gives us the increased reliability because we're doing the same thing again and again. We're not reinventing the wheel every time a request comes in. And it makes it simplicity of choice. Because we've got a known offering, the user knows what to ask for. A lot of the time you get application owners coming to you and they don't even know what they want. They're just saying, I've got a new app and I want to put it in the business. So, well, do you want a server? Do you want the architect? And they don't know. All they want is to deliver a new functionality for their organisation. Self-service, as I mentioned, increases customer satisfaction and it reduces the cost. Reduces those calls to the help desk and the follow-up emails that bounce around your organisation to find out where something is at. Self-service empowers the user to see where their request is at all the way through the process. And it makes sure nothing gets lost in translation. Automation means we have faster time to delivery because it's following that same repeatable process and we automate a lot of those tasks. We're not waiting on people in the loop. It reduces the costs and minimises the human error. So let's have a look at an example of one that we set up for a customer. This is one where we had a customer come to us and they were doing a large infrastructure refresh. This process used to take them over 2 days just to build the core kit. And I'll drill into detail on this solution, but we just want to show you how easy it was to set that up for the user. So we have here an example where that application owner comes to the portal and requests an offering. In this case, it was a branch office deployment. They're deploying a lot of branch offices. So just by going onto the portal, putting in the request, they put in their justification and any other variables that we need as part of our process. So in this example, we wanted a site abbreviation. Now, you may decide that the only people who can identify the site abbreviation are the IT department. So that request could be routed through to the IT, or they could be the only ones that can request this. The portal gives us the ability to bring in any information we want for the user that we need to drive the process at the back end. It's one point of contact to get all the information we need, and then we can automate going forward. Yep. So then when we click next, the process automates that solution. So we went from over 2 days of a manual process, a guy sat there and just built this solution for 2 days straight, to less than 2 hours fully automated. From the minute that next was clicked, there was an approval, and then it went through. So from the portal here, we can see that user, after they've made the request, they can then view them. And they can see the status of the request as it progresses. And we can see all the different activities that were involved in that request and where it's up to. And we'll show more detail on that in the coming slides. Thanks, Chris. So let's have a look at the evolution of the way we provide things for the business. I won't spend too much time on this because we've all seen some of this, but the old way was we had physical tin with the operating system on it and then the application above it. Then everyone virtualised. Most people are running virtualisation in their environment now, so we then have the ability to consolidate less physical hardware, more virtual machines. However, the operating system is still tied to the application, so we still have this one-to-one relationship. And scaling out is complex. We have to build up another OS and then set up load balancing and all this complexity. The changes for that application are stored on that one operating system. So the whole concept of private cloud is to separate that out. We abstract the application services from the underlying infrastructure. It gives us a new level of simplicity. We just maintain a few master applications and operating systems in the library, and then we can deploy and scale out as required. So let's look at the service template. This is part of VMM. We have the ability to define that standard offering for the business. So when a request comes in from the application owner, they're requesting a particular tier. In this case, it's a three-tier .NET app. We have the web tier running IIS with standard profiles that we've defined. So it means that every time an IIS server is stood up, we're not reconfiguring it and doing it manually. We have known profiles for what works in your environment. The application tier with the actual apps that the end users are running, and then the data tier with the SQL. We support multiple package types. We have .NET, IIS, even server application virtualization, or server app V. So once these templates are approved, IT define them and approve them, and then they're made available for the organization. Then the request is a standard one. From that point on, any future request can meet our standard service template. The application owners are available to deploy this on their own. They don't need IT's involvement anymore. We've defined the standard service that we're providing, and they can request it themselves. Self-service, we can easily access the templates that they're authorised to. So you may have multiple templates for different parts of the business, and you define the access for them. It's all about standardising. So the other key part is the visualization. It's on the other screen. So in the visualization, we can see what we're deploying. It's very logical that we've got the three tiers there. I'm trying to represent it visually in a way that the application owners will understand. If we just tell them three obscure server names that go to our standard naming convention, it doesn't mean a lot. So VMM uses this template to build out the application tiers, including any logical instances. And then VMM manages the deployment to make sure it goes onto the appropriate resource pool. Again, if it's a request for a test environment, we don't want to have to tell the IT team to put that on the slower kit or the slower disk or another site. VMM can handle that logic based on what you define in the template. So we can see there that we've separated out the three tiers from the infrastructure layer. So we look at application servicing. So the primary method we're talking about here is server app V, but in the example that Chris just showed us, we use traditional installation methods. Once you have a standard template, if you want to then update that application, we update it once in the library, in that template, and then it's pushed out across the deployment you already have. And we'll give you an example of that in a demonstration. Server App V helps to separate out all those settings that used to be stored in the operating system for that one application and abstracts it above the operating system so we can then move it and scale it out across the environment as you need. We're taking away that dependency of the one-to-one relationship of the OS to the application. So we support .NET Framework and Java. And then we can do this using traditional installs. We'll show you how we did it for our customer just using MSI and scripting. So the other key is predictable service delivery. If we're going to ensure compliance, we need to know what we're delivering in a consistent manner. Do you know that the majority of application or infrastructure outages can be traced back to poorly defined and executed change management? Most places that run are because they're not doing anything to it. It's just left to run. As soon as we introduce change, if it's not well defined and well managed, the uptime suffers. So what we'll talk through now is an end-to-end scenario that enables you to deliver these services. So if we have a look, we have the CMDB, and this is the central point, and I'll talk about this more in the next slide. This stores all of those standards that we've defined for the business. Rumbles that automate the processes for us, the templates for the applications, for the operating systems, for the virtual machines, for the load balancers, whatever infrastructure you're deploying is now standard. They all look the same. We control all the services, the VMs, the hosts. It's all stored in the CMDB. From there, we can then provide access to that through the service catalogue. So the request can come in, and this could be a request that's quite complex and has potential to impact the environment. So we trigger the appropriate change management approval processes, and we're not losing control from the IT perspective, but we're involved only where we need to be. Any manual processes are now automated. So once all the approvals happen, So here we can see the approval requests, and that comes in with detail of what we're deploying, including the visual representation out of our templates that we already defined in VMM so that the approvals can come through. Once the approvals come through and you approve the request, the process is automated, and this is where we use the runbook automation. And then the service is provisioned for the application owner. It's a consistent process that's repeatable, and it means less involvement from you going forward. And we'll show you how to build that in the next demo. So let's drill down on the VMM service templates. This is going back to the example we built for a customer with the branch solution. So Chris is going into VMM, and we can see here in the library we've defined our templates. We have version control on the template, so we can have a look at many different solutions you're deploying out for your business and making available for your organisation. So now we're opening up the service template for this solution we just demonstrated being deployed. And we can see here a visual representation of it. It's very easy to understand. So going from the left, I have a domain controller. The customer had a domain controller at each site, and so we're now automating that process. And we defined it so that every DC in this solution, when they were deploying, be it 25, 50, 1,000, they're all the same. So we define it once, and then it's automated, and they all look identical. So we can see down the bottom that we have some information about things, application deployment order and servicing order. When we build this template, we need to make sure the domain controller's up first. And as we step through and build the other servers, we can very easily, just from a checkbox there, we can define the order that you want to build this template. The instance count and maximum count relates to scaling out. So for the web tier, we want to scale that out, have the ability to scale it later. They might find that they suddenly get a much bigger workload through that web tier and they want to be able to scale it. We define that in the template. Then if we go over to the SQL server, we can see that was the second server that we stood up. We define the SQL standard deployment. So in the old days, you'd build a server and then probably hand it over to the DBA team for them to install SQL on. And as good as our DBA teams are, I'm sure that they weren't always identical in the install of SQL. Just like our OSs, when we installed manually, weren't always identical. Automation takes away that user error. So we can see we have a standard template for the SQL where we can name the instances and put in product keys and put in all the information, the configuration and service accounts. You can have as many of these as you need for your business if you have different SQL profiles. The key is you define it once and then it's built the same way every time. Then if we go into the web tier, the application tier, we can see this was the next machine. We waited for the SQL to come up and then we built the app. Now in this case, the customer decided that it was a softly approach. They didn't want to automate their apps and put it straight into App V because they didn't have a lot of visibility about the application itself. This is the way we'd always installed it, and we used this massive long script and process for it, and they didn't want to touch it at this point. And it's a good example of how just because we can't automate the end-to-end process doesn't mean we can't get value. So in this solution, we stood up the application server with the web environment and IIS the same way every time. And when they're ready to look at server app V or the automation of their applications, they can add that in and increase the value they're getting out of this template. It goes back to what we said at the start, get value today and refine it and increase the value tomorrow. So in here, we can add in the applications. So that application there that Chris has selected is just an App V app. These are ones that you've made available in your library. So standard apps, we define what OS it's compatible on, pick the applications. We can also do scripts. So if you don't have a server App V app yet, we can go in and add a script. We can add just basic application install scripts in whatever way you're currently installing that app and put it in. We can add post-install scripts and pre-install scripts, post-uninstall scripts and pre-uninstall scripts. You have control to do whatever you need to automate this solution. So the first phase for our deployment, we just pushed out the SQL server, which the DBAs used to build. So they saved time there because it was now built the same way every time in an automated manner. We had the IIS configuration the same every time because we had the OS set. And then it was handed over to the application team to install their app manually. Now, at some point, they will revisit that and come back and add that application into the automated process when they're ready. We're not forcing full end-to-end automation on them from the start, but we're getting that low-hanging fruit, getting the wins on the board that we need. And then we have a file and print server at the end. That was the last server to be built. You can define this as complex as you want. We've seen some templates that scroll down for pages and has a whole heap of stuff in to build full data centres. But what we're trying to look at is a real-life example of something that you can use in your business. So then we'll look at the applications. When the users come in and add that app, let's say they add in their automated app. They add it once on the template, and then we can deploy that to all the machines that had that template. So you add in the... We're managing this centrally, so we change the app once, and then we can push that out to every service that's been deployed using this template. It gives you consistency across the environment. So in this scenario, we're just adding in a virtual app. Yep. And then we can update. So by updating, we save and validate that configuration. We have built-in validation, so if you've had a typo or if it's missing a variable or something that you need, we'll validate that at this point. And then let's have a look at how we push that out. So one change centrally on your template, you've decided there's a new version of your branch office deployment. And we can now send that out to all the systems that have previously been deployed. You don't have to go back and re-engineer them. So we pick the template and we have a choice of replacing the current template across anywhere that's been deployed. So you can pick a slightly different template with the version control. All the settings come up with the dependencies. If you've got settings in there that you need to be configured, it'll prompt you for them at this point. Then the update method. So in this example, the application server, we can apply updates to the existing VM that's out there, or we can say, let's push out another VM side by side with it, with the new configuration. And once that's deployed, we then decommission the old one. So we can apply an update and push that out. And then next and finish, and we go through and approve it. So what's a real example of this? You're not going to change an application on your tier every day, but how about the SQL memory? A few months after we had this running, the customer decided that their SQL server needed more virtual memory. And that's a task that would have taken them a few days to go around and change, organise the outages. We just went into the template, looked at the hardware configuration, changed the memory in there, and then applied and deployed the template as we just showed you. And with that one change, it pushed that setting out across the environment. You can choose whether you deploy it straight away, or whether you schedule it, or whether you just make it available. So you maintain control from one central location. We also have the ability to roll back. So let's say you make that change and push it out, and then it doesn't work the way you expect. You double the memory on the SQL box, and it's still running like a dog. We can then roll that back to the previous service template that you know works. Okay. So efficiency comes through standardisation, and one of the keys for standardisation is the CMDB. Service Manager stores all the information in its CMDB, and this is a real key that gives us the power to drive it. Now, anyone who's seen CMDBs in the past has seen it's weeks of work setting it up and bringing in data from all the different sources and reconciling and working out where the source of truth is. System Center automates this for us. We bring information from all the different sources, which I'll show you in the next slide. We reconcile it automatically at the back end and make it available in the CMDB. Once it's in there, we can then start doing process automation on any of those configuration items. The other components are around self-service. Let's drill into the CMDB. Where do we get the information from? So out of Virtual Machine Manager, I'm not going to read them all out, but you can see all the different templates and classifications that we define in VMM, and then we import it into the CMDB. If you're using integration packs in VMM with third-party connectors from your hardware vendors, that will then also come into VMM and then end up in your CMDB. So if you're managing your storage fabric or your network fabric in VMM, you can now see that in the CMDB also. We import from Operations Manager. So all the information about your environment that you're monitoring today, we're bringing in. All the servers, the clients, hardware, websites, databases, whatever you're monitoring is now made available in this same central location. And because we're reconciling it, we know where that's running in the virtual space. We know what operating system configuration is on that. It's all consolidated and linked back, so you get one single view for all the information you need. Out of Configuration Manager, anything you're managing, we bring in. So not only do you know about the asset and the configuration of it, we know what software's on it out of Config Manager. We know if it's in a desired state. All this information, you had to go to multiple tools in the past, and we're consolidating this into our CMDB. And once it's there, we can then use this information to automate the processes. We bring in Active Directory, and through Orchestrator, we can bring in runbooks and everything that we're automating in Orchestrator and make that available So for those that are using Orchestrator already, you may have runbooks that you use as IT all the time, and you want to provide some of those out to certain owners of the business, application owners or certain responsibility groups. We bring those into Service Manager so you can tune them and then make them available. We can also do data imports, PowerShell, custom connectors using the SDK. You're only limited by what you want to do. So automation concepts, I won't spend heaps of time on this because there's a really good Orchestrator session yesterday. So if you didn't get to it, download the recording. But very briefly, automation, we have a number of key concepts around the activities, and these are the units of execution that we're executing. Now, with the integration packs, we bring in hundreds of these out of the box. Runbooks allow us to then link those activities in a meaningful manner. So you can see some of the examples there, sending emails, querying databases, comparing values, running .NET scripts. You can automate the most mundane tasks in your day through a runbook and linking them together and providing that automation. The data bus is the key that allows us to consume that data and variables and pass it along the chain. So for our whole workflow, we're maintaining that same variable. We don't need to write out to temporary tables or different log files or other locations. The data bus maintains that variable through the whole process. And that's why at the very start of our demonstration with the request, we ask for that import. And that variable is then passed all the way through our runbooks, back out to Service Manager and in and out. We use the data bus for that. And the Designer is an easy tool. If you've ever used Visio, you can drag and drop and make the workflow in a way that is meaningful for you. It's certainly a lot friendlier than looking through 400 lines of code in a script. You can see what it's doing, you can see where the decision points are and drill into it very easily. It's an intuitive way to make automation. Some of the integration packs we bring in, all the Microsoft ones out of the box and third party as well, and you can build your own. So when we start bringing all that information in, it shows how powerful we can do with our automation. Start thinking about the tasks where you're using any of these products, and the tasks that you hate doing, or the tasks that take a long time to get done, and ways that we could automate that and then present it to the business as a service. I really like this quote. It says, the first rule of technology, automation is applied to an efficient operation or magnify the efficiency. But if you're applying it to an inefficient operation, it'll magnify the inefficiency. So how is this relevant? We need to know what the operation is that you're trying to automate. What's the process? If you can't define the process and make sure the process is efficient, there's no point automating it. So how do we make it more efficient? Where do we begin? Right now, you've probably got ideas of things you want to automate in your environment. Now, how do we step through that and do that? Number one, put it on a whiteboard. Visualize the process. Before you open any tools, draw it out. Our office, we've got drawings all over the wall and all over every available window of different processes as we start mapping it out and brainstorming ways it would work. When it's up on a big whiteboard, it's very easy to visualize and see if it actually makes sense. And you can look at the decision points and decide who owns what part of the process. So putting it on a whiteboard really helps for the rest of those steps. Once we've done that process, we then build the templates. The VM templates, service templates, application templates, load balancers. So in our example before, that's where we built the end service of what we're trying to deliver for the customer. We knew it had four servers. We started drilling into the standard parts of that. What does the OS look like? What does the SQL config look like? What does the IIS configuration look like? The templates in there. And you may want to use variables. We recommend if there's ever a chance that someone will want a slight variation on that template, use a variable. And then you define the template once, and you can pass that variable down the data bus later. You can make a default variable, so it uses that default, but it gives you the ability to change it later. Once we built the activity, we built the runbooks to automate that. We use all those different activities and automate the process. After there, we link the runbook activities to Service Manager so they're made available to consume by Service Manager driving the information out of the CMDB and linking the runbooks that you have in Orchestrator. We'll show this in a second. And then the service request template where we're defining what we present to the business. And finally, the request offering is a shopping list for your organisation. Once that's published, we can categorise it and put different security so you can have different requests available for different groups and bundle them together in a way that's meaningful for your business. So let's have a look at the six steps for automating your request fulfilment. Number one, import your items into the CMDB. Once you've got all the information in Service Manager, we can start to automate that process. So wherever you want to bring the information from, hook up the connectors. What does that look like? Yep. So what we're going to do, we're going to step through a simple example of how to decommission a server. And this sounds like a dead easy one, but we're just going to show it as an example for something you can take back to your environment and build on to make the process simple. If I try and run through an end-to-end service template with four servers and everything, we'll be here till the lock note. So, nice simple example, decommissioning a server. So private cloud allows us to build and deploy servers very quickly, but sometimes we need to clean them up. And often there's the little things that catch us out, DNS records, or it's stored in some location we didn't know about. There's still manual processes. So we're going to step through how to build that. The first part is the CMDB. So Chris is going to show us here, we've got the Orchestrator connector. This links into Orchestrator for those runbooks that you may have already made. And if you've got a whole heap of runbooks and you're doing a lot of runbook development in your environment, we can pick a particular folder that we bring in, only the production release runbooks, for example. It means you don't have to bring it all in, you can just pick a part that we want. So once we bring in those runbooks, they're then available to consume by our workflow and process. We can create a connector to Configuration Manager. This is how quick it is to set up the imports into the CMDB and bring all that information in. A couple of clicks and we're done. So pick the server name and the database name. We pick the connection account that has permissions to read there. We can then define the collections that we're going to bring in. We don't recommend bringing in all systems normally because most people who have Configuration Manager, we see a lot of garbage in the all systems collection. So pick a collection that's meaningful for you. It might be the all Windows workstations, it might be the all managed devices, whatever one's meaningful for you. You can do all systems if you want. If your environment's clean, go for it. We then schedule when that's going to run. Is it going to run every hour? Is it going to run every day? How often does the deltas happen in your environment? How quickly does it change? And then finish. Once that's run, we've got all the information out of Configuration Manager into the Service Manager CMDB to then consume it by our processes. So once that's in there, we can then start to get extra information about the server. Now, because we haven't built that, we won't see, but I'll show you an example on our demo server. Just by opening up that configuration item, we'd then see all the additional information coming in via hardware and software. Think of ways that this can help in a decommissioned server scenario. When we're making the request for the app, as the user's requesting, oh, that server, I don't need it anymore, we will show them what's installed on the server. We're not relying on their memory. We're not relying on a vote in the office as to whether the server's meaningful or not. We're getting data in real time out of the environment to show you what's on that server and what it might be doing, all out of the CMDB. So the software tab, we would see all the software coming in. So now we see how all the information is imported into the CMDB. Let's have a look at how we create the process. So the next phase is building. This is where we're going to start building the templates, building the run books. Now, we're not going to try and do anything complex here today. As I mentioned, if you want to see some best practices on the Orchestrator, download yesterday's session. So we're going to step through building the template, and here's one that we prepared earlier. So in this run book, we can see that we're starting off by initialising the data. We're getting the information from the user. So this information would be passed. Ultimately, it will be typed in or selected from the user, depending on how we define it. And we'll show you how the user is selecting this later on. We pass that information in. We then get the related request and the ID for it. We pull in all the information out of the CMDB for the configuration item and get the server name, and then we invoke the next run book, which is to decommission the server. Now, we've got approval processes along the way in the workflow, but we're just showing you can build some of this up very quickly. You can see there's only a dozen things on the screen that we've dragged and dropped and linked, and you can have that process in your environment. So we get the VM. We start it in maintenance mode, then we shut it down, then we remove it, and error checking all the way. And after that's shut down and removed, we then go into the AD tasks. Get the computer, remove it out of AD. You might decide to disable it and move it to a different OU. Remove the DNS records out of DNS. A lot of people are still using third-party DNS that we've seen in the environments, and they have to script those things out. So we can do that out of here. We're not saying it's a Microsoft-only world, and we can still integrate with whatever you have. Once that's finished, we update the service request and pass it back. So we've built that run book. How do we link the run book in to Service Manager? So we're working from the ground up. We're building the template and then the run book to automate that process. And now we're going to make the run book... Oh, you can just flip to the demo, Chris. Now we're going to make that run book activity available in Service Manager so we can consume it with the workflow. So the run book activity, this is where, remember, we've already got the Orchestrator connector, so we can see all the run books that you've defined to be available in the workflow. This is where we can start to link variables that you may have in the run book with our service requests. So you can map those variables so that they align through. It means we get all the information once at the start, and then we can pass that through down to the run book activity. So then the next part of this, after we've got the run book linked in and we've made it available, we then need to create the service request template. This is where we start publishing it. Sorry. The third part of the step, we're publishing this out using Service Manager. So we're going to create a service request template and then the request offering. And Chris is going to show us how to create these service request templates and the request offering in Service Manager. Again, just a simple example of a server decommission. Here's a service request template that we've already defined. And we can load up the form. This is where we prompt the user for any information that we need. So you can pre-populate these fields. You might define that a server decommission is automatically assigned to your server team. You may define that if it's got an application on it, it's then routed through to that application owner. It's up to you. You can pre-populate as many of these fields as you want. In the activities, we can see that end-to-end workflow. Now, this is a nice, simple one where we're just approving the request. So we have an approval process. So the user requests it, and then we have to approve it before it starts. And then we run the decommission. But you can make this as complex as you want, with approvals along the way that are change requests for the organisation. So in our example that I showed at the start, with that branch office solution, there was approvals and then it was handed off to applications and they would then install the SQL, and once that was finished, it was passed back, and the server, the end-to-end workflow actually even showed, now it's Joe's job to go shut down that server, pull it out of the rack, and ship it on site. So it doesn't have to just be automated processes. It's anything that you're doing from the start to the finish, you can define in this activity workflow. So once we've defined the service request template, we can create the request offering. This is the end user request from the portal that we're making available. So we can configure any prompts for information we need from the user, and then we can map those to the service request templates to pass that information through. So in this example, we're just picking a server, and we've got a query result. So if we, in the server query, just go back one, Chris. In the prompt type, we're querying. So this example, you might choose that we're only going to query for all servers that have been unavailable in Ops Manager for 7 days. Or all servers out of Config Manager that haven't reported any data for 30 days. You might make it only available for certain application owner servers. You're limited by whatever you want to do in your business. Because we have all that information in the CMDB, we can do really complex queries very easily out of this one screen. So you're only presenting relevant data for the user that's doing the request. They don't have to jump through a heap of hoops and try and understand IT speak. In this example, they're only picking a list of servers that they have access to that haven't been available for a week. They tick that. They put in the justification, which is a brief message of saying why, and then it's automated from that point on. So we can configure all the prompts. We can map those prompts back to the service activity. And then any relevant knowledge articles. We've got a really comprehensive knowledge base system in there, so you can add information in there as well. You can type in whatever info you want. You can link different KB articles that you've got. It might be meaningful here. And then we publish it. And once it's published, that's then available through the portal. And finally, the service offerings are a way of rolling these different request offerings into groups that are meaningful for the business, giving you that shopping list. So here we've got private cloud infrastructure services, but you can group them whatever way you want. There might be hardware requests. We got one customer who just did a few different requests for users for things like, I want a new PC, I want a new tablet. And they could choose those options. It was a manual process at the back end of just going to the approvers to say yes or no, but it was automated. It wasn't a help desk ticket that you then had to pass around. So once this is published, it's then available through the portal. Just flip back for you. From this point on, it's automated. You do those steps once, and then this wheel just keeps turning for the business. They can now use and consume that new service that you're providing. So the next phase of this request fulfillment, we're going to show how the user actually requests this, and then they'll invoke it, and then we monitor. So we'll have a look at the request of how the user consumes this new service that you've just started to provide for the business. So from the portal, the user's picking that request activity that they can see, the server decommission, and they go to the request and they're prompted for just the variables that you defined they needed to know. So here we brought in a query of all the different servers. They just pick that server, type in the justification, next and finish. From that point on, the Runbook automates the process and it all runs end to end with whatever workflows and approvals that you've put in. IT don't touch it. It's sitting there and running. The user has the ability to then go back in and update the request. They can put input on there. They can look at it. They can see where it's up to all the way along the process. They have control over what they're requesting without any input from IT. You guys can get on with doing your job without these day-to-day monotonous tasks. So once that's in there, the process is running, and we could monitor that in Orchestrator for you. So we could have Orchestrator sitting there polling and polling a collection of machines that haven't been available for 30 days. So in this example of server decommission, we could just be monitoring to see, okay, what servers haven't been up for 30 days? Any that haven't, I will just generate those requests automatically. So you don't even need the user to do this. This is part of the phase of automation where you're then freeing your time up. So we're providing the service, and then we can automate that service. I'm pretty much bang on. So invoke, we've done that. What's the next step? Okay. So then the last part we hear is have approval. So we had an approval in that process. So we're going to run the approval. Oh, sorry. We can see how to approve that request that comes in. Now, these would be emailed out to the people in the business. If your IT team weren't owning the approvals, they could be emailed out, click on the approval link from an email. So that workflow process to automate it. We can then drill into the activity and see where it's up to. Again, you can see visual representation with a nice green on the first part and saying we're waiting on the second part. So you can follow that process as it's running. So in the first demonstration we showed you earlier, the runbook where we're deploying a whole service template, we can see all the different tasks, building the servers and where they're at, and you can see the process where it's up to from a nice, easy-to-use screen that you can see greens and reds. Everyone understands green is good, red is bad. So once that approvals process, the process runs, and then we monitor it. Now, monitoring is the key for automation. If you can't see what it's doing, you don't know if it's working. It's great to provide a service out to the business, but how do you know if it's actually running or not? You might think you've set up this great process, and then someone comes to you 2 weeks later and says, yeah, it didn't do anything. So monitoring is the key. We can monitor progress from all the different parts of Service Manager, Orchestrator, the portal, and notifications. So in Service Manager, as Chris just showed us, we can see the status in the work items, in the form. We can easily link over to Orchestrator to drill in on that runbook in a visual manner to see what step it's up to in the process. If it's a 400-step process, you could see you've got 200 green ticks and then the rest are pending because it's hung. We see that visibility. You can retry the failed runbooks. From Orchestrator, we can drill right down to the activity level. We can look at the historical view of runbook execution. And we can see what variables are being passed in and out. From the self-service portal, they get a summarised view that Chris showed before, where they can see what's happening. They know where their request is up to. They have that visibility. They don't need to email the help desk. They don't need to call the help desk and say, what's happened with my request? There's no more IT black hole for the application owner. And with the email notifications, we get notifications about anything. You choose. We can get notified when it's at the next phase or just on failures. And we can do customised HTML formatting email and with all the data you want. In the example we ran for the customer, they got the detailed log files out of the Orchestrator runbooks emailed to them every step of the way when they're in the pilot phase because they wanted to know that level of detail. And if you're monitoring this end-to-end process with the Ops Manager, you're going to get alerts about any failures along the way as well. Because Ops Manager has all the management packs there available for all of these products that are part of the suite, we get notified about where anything's going wrong along the way. You don't have to spend time deciding what to monitor and what to look at and what's successful and what's not. We've already got that intelligence built into the management packs. So how do you get started? We've shown you one simple example. We recommend downloading the Cloud Services Process Management Pack. There is a heap of out-of-the-box templates here that even if you're not using for the examples there, it'll help to demonstrate what's possible. And you'll chop bits out of these and use them for your own environment. all the different run books that come in for Orchestrator and all the different workflows, you can start to use those to build your templates for what you want to provide for your business. There's over 20 offerings that are built on the templates out of the box. You can provision VMs and capacity management, automate the work activities, all of these things just there. So we really recommend download it and start using it. So hopefully we've set a bit of an example of what you can do with System Center to provide the service delivery and automation for your environment. Using VMM, Orchestrator, and Service Manager, we can link them together to provide that end-to-end service for the business. Don't feel you've got to boil the ocean. Start off with something simple, put it in. And as you build out the service requests and the offerings in the portal, the users start to get an idea of how much work you're doing for your company. The more offerings you make available, they start to see the value that IT is providing for the business. And anything that you're automating is something you don't have to do again. You can get back to working on the better things, like implementing this. There's always new technology. This is a big year, and so we don't want to be working on things that you're doing time and time again. Automate those things and get onto the fun things. So some related content. Download these two sessions from the link comes up on the next slide, actually. Get these sessions. They go into a lot of detail of the self-service through Service Manager and the Orchestrator runbook authoring. Come down to the Microsoft Showcase and visit the guys at the Modern Data Center and have a chat to us about what you're wanting to do. The certification, there's an exam there about configuring and deploying private cloud. And Chris and I'll be in the speaker lounge straight after this, so if you want to come and ask questions after the session, feel free to pop down. So before we get on to the questions, please fill out the eval forms. It's really meaningful feedback for everyone. It helps us to shape the future sessions for you, understand what sessions were meaningful for you and what presenters were meaningful for you, so please fill that out, and you can win a mouse. Here's the link for the download, so you can download all the resources. All the slide decks will be up there, and the recordings from different sessions. So hit this URL and grab all that information. That's the end of our presentation, and any questions? Yeah?
So the portals for the service requests or the request after the start, is that SharePoint or can it be SharePoint integrated, or is that 2013 or what?
Absolutely, yeah. So the question was about the portal and if it can be integrated with SharePoint. We use SharePoint Foundation out of the box, but you can integrate those in your existing SharePoint environment. And you don't need 2013. It's 2010. Any other questions? Yeah.
When you say that you have to come out of the box with standard data center licenses, you've got what you need on the client side. So if you've got the clients going in and they're running service,
yep.
Do you need clients for those as well?
On the client side, there's no client requirement unless we're managing those client devices. In the Service Manager workflow, we're only doing data center work here in this example. So you're just using the data center workflows. So it's just part of your existing System Center CAL. Yeah. There is some licensing around Service Manager if you're wanting to do user stuff. So come chat to us after and I'll fill you in. Yeah. Any other questions? Yep. For authorization, can you specify a group? Absolutely. Yes? That's right, yeah. So in change requests, we have the ability to decide on what approval you need. You can say we need unanimous or we need majority. And we can even be intelligent with the service request and route that to the group that owns those applications or however you define it. So we can pre-populate those fields based on what you define is relevant for that service request. And using templates, it makes it very easy. But yeah, you can do unanimous or majority. Any other questions? All good. I can't see anything. Cool. Thank you very much. If you've got any other questions, feel free to come down or see us down in the speaker lounge. Well, I don't know. How do you reckon we went?